Let us bow. Our Father who art in heaven, we humbly bow unto thee with many, many thanksgivings in our hearts. And thanking you, Father, for the beginning of time to this present moment, demonstrating how much you love us, Father, creating the heaven and the earth, giving us the abundant life that we have through Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the perfect gift, perfect sacrifice, your sinless blood, our blemished spot, that he shed it on the cross, Calvary, for the remission of sins. Thanking you, Father, for another day of salvation, given unto all believe and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, be baptized for the remission of their sins, enabling their name to be added to the book of life. We thank you, Father, for the good measures of health that we possess. Thank you, Father, for all of the abilities that we have, enabling us, Father, day by day, giving us strength, go out into the world, do the things that we need, enabling us to care for our families and to care for one another. Thanking you, Father, for the privilege we have to pray unto you, Father, knowing the Lord that you hear our prayers, knowing, Father, that there will be times that we have to depend on you, Lord, to get us through these trying times. And Father, we pray that one day that our land will be healed, that there will be no divisions among people, that we'll learn to love one another as Christ Jesus loved us. He taught us how to forgive, enabling us to forgive one another. We thank you, Father, so much. We love you, Lord. We pray, Father, that you'll always continue to be faithful unto us until death do us part. We extend this prayer, Father, to those that we have on the prayer list, those that are in need of health being restored, that they'll be able to go about their lives day by day. Lord, we pray that as we enter into this worship service this morning, that our words will be worthy, that you'll find all that we say, that we do, to be pleasing and acceptable unto thee. For it is in Jesus' name we give you praise, honor and glory. Amen.
Jeremiah is taking the Lord's Supper this morning with me. So you have book of him number 300. We will say the first, third, and fourth verse of this evening. We have to obey the one God.
You can read in Acts 27, where it says the disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread. And you read that passage of scripture, there's no other way to interpret that. It's very clear, specific in them, and what day we should come together to partake of the Lord's Supper. And here we are, 2022, the Church of Christ comes together on the first day of the week. And that's just one of the many scriptures that we can read concerning the Lord's Supper. And each of those scriptures are clear, they're specific in a manner in which we have to take of the Lord's Supper. You're not going to come across any scripture that says you can do it this way until you decide to change it. We are to do this according to God's will. So as we take this opportunity to take just a few moments to clear our minds, to reflect on that sacrifice that our Lord and Jesus Christ made on our behalf, and to make sure that we do so according to God's will. We have before us, we have the bread which represents his body, and he has the fruit of the vine that represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come together on this first day of the week, to gather together with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to come together and remembrance of you sending thy only begotten Son to this world, Heavenly Father, in remembrance of thy Son giving his life on the cross, to remember that he was without spot or blemish. He did no wrong, he committed no sin, and he was still willing to love each and every one of us so much that he was willing to give his life on our behalf. And we pray, Heavenly Father, And as we're about to take up this bread, which represents his body, that we'll do so in a manner that it be pleasing in thy name, in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy son Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue in our thanks for the cup. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, ever mindful and thankful for thy Son and our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father, for his willingness to become that perfect sacrifice, that perfect Lamb of God, through shedding of his blood cleanses of all unrighteousness, Father, for the redeemed people. And Lord, at this time, Father, as we're clearing our hearts and minds to partake of that cup, that fruit of the vine, Lord, pray that we'd reflect back on the cross, reflect back on Christ, and that in partaking of this cup, this fruit of the vine, that we may do so in a way and in a manner that's most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. We ask these things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, if you raise your hand. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of our worship service, which is giving. And just like with the Lord's Supper, as you can read in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, real, very clear, very specific in the manner in which we should give. So as we prepare to give back, let us keep that in mind as well. Let's get back. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to rise from our dead, allowing us to rise from our bed, allowing us to make it through another week, Heavenly Father. allowing us to see another new year, Heavenly Father. We're so grateful and thankful, Heavenly Father, for all thy blessings. So many blessings that we can never be thankful enough for all that you do. And we just thank you for giving us the will and the ability, the skills, all of our talents, Heavenly Father, to go out into this world, Heavenly Father, to work, to be able to provide for those that we love. And we pray as we're about to give back a portion of the many blessings you have given us. We pray that we'll do so in a manner that is pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages and praises me. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, you know we standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Thank you for standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ, the Lord. Bound to him, eternally by the strong cord. Overcome the gate with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. You know we're standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fall. Living every moment of the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all and God, standing on the promises of God. You know we're standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. You know we're standing on the promises of God, my
Sermon title for this morning's sermon is Finding Our Place in the Body. And the scripture reading is taken from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Again, that's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, Brother
Stephen North. Good morning. God has once again afforded us another opportunity that we can come together to study a portion of true and divine word. Thank you for those who are here this morning and those who have tuned in to our conference call. Just glad that you are able to be a part of this worship service on this morning. If you're visiting with us, we would count you as our honored guests, even those on our conference call. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, God, thank you again for another day. Thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to once again come together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the avenue that you have given us, that not only that we can come together in person, but that we can use the technology that we have for those who cannot be here. They can call in to our conference call. Just pray, Heavenly Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us in our situation. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, everything we've fallen short of, give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me your word, the things that I say, Lord, to get all the glory, honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Romans chapter 12, we find that in the first verse, it deals with what you and I are supposed to serve God with. It says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. But then in verse 3 through verse number 8, it gives the answer for us finding our place in the body. In the body, everyone has a place to serve. Now, last week, we ended up talking about finding your place in the body. And so the question comes this morning, how can we find our place in the body of Christ? Well, in this particular text, it gives us three ingredients that's needed to find our place in the body. The first ingredient is in verse 1 and verse number 3, and that is, we have to start with a servant heart. Start with a servant heart. When you look at verse 3, Paul, he says, "For I say through the grace given to me." When you look at this, according to the grace given to Paul, in other words, his apostleship, he gives everyone a command that they should understand. And each one of the Christians at Rome had been given a spiritual gift that they were supposed to use to edify the body of Christ. And knowing exactly how mankind works, Paul addresses the first issue, and that is pride. See, when you are lifted up with pride, when you think you are better than everybody else, you won't have a servant heart. And so we see Paul, he deals with pride, because each individual member of the congregation is pointedly commanded by the apostle to be careful how he regards himself, lest constantly, habitually, he allows himself to have either too high of opinion of his own importance or too low an estimate of his value to the congregation. And so neither being prideful nor being disdainful has any value of place in the body of Christ. But instead, people in the body of Christ, people judge themselves by a better measuring stick. And that is, Paul says, sober thinking. They must choose to think responsibly about what they possess in the body. Sober thinking. Never exaggerate the gift God has given, nor gift is necessarily better. His church. A servant doesn't wonder whether or not he can do anything for his master, but does what he can to the best of his ability. And so the first ingredient needed to find a place in the body of Christ is a servant's heart. It's a willingness to do all that we can to go above and beyond where we ever expect that we would want to go. When we first dedicate ourselves to serving God, just as it says there in verse number 1, then we begin to develop as a people of God and as individuals. And so we must present our bodies as living sacrifices. Why? Since we don't have to die for our sins, we give up our right to live our lives to serve God. Once our hearts desire to serve God, then he will use us as the instruments to reach the world. However, this is only the first ingredient. That is, again, to have a servant heart. But then the second ingredient, it ups the ante just a little bit. And that is to add a dash of unity and responsibility. Verse number 4 and verse number 5. And so what Paul does is that Paul only starts with this receipt for gift-based ministry with a servant's heart. And now he pours on a little responsibility, and he dashes it with some unity. And so the human body has an incredible number of functions that it performs just to keep us alive, much alive, much less active and outgoing, and just the number of different types of cells that are produced with them in turn specializes themselves into our different organs. And that's amazing. Because, see, the cells that make up your liver don't argue with the kidney cells that they are better or more organized. Indigestion may feel as though your body is arguing with itself, but it's probably what you ate. And so we got to understand that either the diversity of the cells or the unity of the body, they have to be harmonious or we will reach the problem. And so why would the body of Christ be any different? So Paul continues in verse number 5 by saying, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all of the other. There is only one body of Christ, and only those who love him, those who serve him, those who follow him wholeheartedly, lives as a part of it. However, that doesn't exempt anyone in the body from being accountable to the other part of the body. Not only should the people be unified, but they are also responsible to one another. And so the unity of the body comes second after a servant's heart. And so how can we be unified together if some of us don't desire to serve God? If some of us don't desire to get in and do their part in the body? And so just as our body are made of many members and we all want them to work together, so Christ wants his many members to work together in his body. And so in the body of Christ, each member belongs to one another. I'm not responsible to you because I'm paid to be here. No, I'm responsible to you because I am a part of Jesus Christ. So are you. I'm a part of the body, and I have to do my part. And you are a part of the body, and you have to do your part. And so how much stronger could our congregation be if we unified by being responsible and accountable to each other for how we serve Almighty God? And so the first ingredient we said is that a servant comes. And then you mix it with a bit of unity and responsibility, creates a body of believers. Your place in the body should begin to be shaped at this stage. You want to serve and now have a place where you find accountability to other men and women. But then that brings on the third ingredient. The third ingredient is that now you flavor it with uniqueness. In verse number 6 to verse number 8. See, when you look at this, you start with a willingness to serve God. Then you add yourself to a group of Christians who also seek to serve God. And then you flavor the group together by adding the uniqueness of each individual and their individual gifts. See, each person in this collective body here has their own special talent. They have their own special abilities that they can use to serve God. And so having the desire to serve and gathering with other Christians on Sunday isn't enough to help you find your position in the body of Christ. And so there's another step that must be taken. He talks about if a man's gift is prophesying, and I would define prophecy as the ability to serve others by faithfully perceiving and proclaiming the will of God. And so those who would have this gift would be the eyes of the body, or maybe the feet taken as well, that they can see and understand where God wants us. Let him use it, the Bible says, in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him be encouraged. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Everyone had a part in the body of Christ. And so Paul, he lists a wonderful array of gifts that the people might have shown aptitude in. And so the question comes, how do I know what I can do? Well, there are many studies and there are many tests that you can take to figure out where you fit in. Because since God has wired us all differently, we can take a look at our preferences. Not only that, where we work best and how we work best to find out where we can best serve God. Let me give you some illustrations, just a couple of them. Well, if you are an outgoing person, an outspoken person who doesn't like to do the small stuff, there is a place that you can do that. If you love to bring smiles to people's faces, and especially when they are down, do you not know there is a place for you? Whatever your preference is, I can guarantee you in the body of Christ, there is a place that you can use what you do best. But you gotta be willing to find your place. You gotta be willing to have a servant heart to do what it takes to build this congregation the way that God would have it to be. And it's going to take more than two people. It's going to take more than three people. It's going to take more than five people. It's going to take all of us building of the body of Jesus Christ. Y'all listen, we all have the capability to do every area of ministry. But that doesn't will be able to do our very best for God. That's why you find your place in the body. You know what you can do. And God knows what you can do. You can do it on your job. Well, I get paid. Well, let me tell you something. You can get paid more if you're doing it for God. Because the same God that bless you with that job is the same God that can take it away from you. And so use your talent. If you can use it on the job, you can use it to build up the kingdom of heaven. Because see, listen, when God designed mankind, he knew from the very beginning that the church would need a diverse array of different types of people. But I already knew that. So finding our place in the church so that we can serve the Lord with all our heart. Church, I know it's not always easy. And listen, when we serve the way we have been designed, then we find purpose and meaning in our work. Whether it be here at church, whether it be on the job, whether it be talking to coworkers, our gifts can be our greatest personal strength in reaching out to others who do not know Jesus Christ. And when we become willing to serve Christ and find our place in the body, and let me tell you something, we can then begin using our gifts for the glory of Almighty God. So the last ingredients of growing a church and the found peace in how we can serve God, it comes from our unique as individuals. Many people spend their entire lives searching for their place in life, place where they will fit in, where they can grow, where they can learn, where they can change, place where they can be themselves and work for the cause greater than themselves, a place where they can impact the world and maybe even eternity. Let me tell you, the church is that place. It's the place where you can find and do these things that would be pleasing to Almighty God. So the body of Christ has a place for everyone. We want more than anything else this morning for you to simply find your place. Place for everyone and everyone in their place. To find your place, you've got to have a willing heart. a group you can connect with and utilize your unique gift for the kingdom of God. Let me tell you this morning as I close, every single gift, every single person is needed in the body of Christ. God has greater things stored for this church. And each and every one of us is the only son and his kingdom, and find your place in the body, you'll be pleasing to God. So I'm calling upon you this morning. Find your place in the body and get busy doing what God would have us to do. If you're here this morning, now you'd obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, hear a portion of God's word, believing. Be true faith coming by hearing by the word of God, repenting for sin, confess Christ, and be baptized. If you've been a Christian, not been living as a Christian should, you need to respond to the invitation. If you have not been doing what God would have you to do, if you not have been finding your place and busy in the work of God, now is the time to say, God, from this day forward, I'm going to find my place. I'm going to have a servant's heart. I'm going to use my gift to the best of my ability because I want to be pleased on God and acceptable in your sight. I want to hear you one day say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou been faithful over a few things. Come and I'll make you ruler over me. Come right now, just come and sing the song of invitation.
Oh,
oh.
Thank you.